Hi, this is Josh Burke, the Executive Director of the Bethlehem Mary Public Library, and you're listening to Beyond the Stacks, the library podcast. Today, my guest on the podcast is my old friend, Bill Duane. Say hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
No. Oh, you got him. Bill Duane is an old friend of mine and a longtime musician in a number of Lehigh Valley punk rock bands and the like. He's a graduate of Freedom High School and former resident of Bethlehem Township. Now he lives where? Over in
Wilson.
So Bill's here to talk to me today about the new collection of underground music that the library has up on our website. So this is, we're calling it the Lehigh Valley Underground Music Archive. It's at bapl.org/LVUMA. And I'll just tell you real quick a little story of how this came together. The library's been, you know, for years loaning CDs quite a bit to people to check out new music for free. And obviously that's changed a bit in the past decade plus, as the CDs are really no longer circulating here, or a lot of people don't have CD players in their car. And so libraries around the country have started doing different things where they provide digital music to people in various ways. So some of them have contracts with big companies where you can stream music with your library card. Some of them have their own kind of like local music arrangements with local artists where the library will license the music and then you can listen to it by typing in your library card. And so I was pursuing some of these different options, and I was talking to some of my friends in the area who have record labels or bands or whatever. And I ended up just connecting with all these people who just really through their generosity just donated basically all their catalogs of music that they've put out over the years. So we ended up with like a donation of something like 1,000+ MP3s, which is like just an unusual kind of thing for a library to receive. So we had to figure out, you know, kind of what to do with it. And rather than putting it behind any sort of login screen or paywall or anything, we just decided to put it all up on the site. So we have tons of music. It's mostly, I usually just call it punk/etc. It's like punk rock music and other alternative music or just weird rock music. Going back from, like, I guess like from the late 70s, early 80s, from like the beginning of punk rock, really, and then up through some modern bands. So it starts with like Frank Foe's records, and then Chris Reject's Square Opposition records, and then Lance LeBar, who has is a young guy who has a record label right now called Killer Tofu Records. So we have like up to the minute kind of modern underground bands going back all the way many decades. And then some individual bands have also donated all of their stuff. And one of them was the Atomic Chickens. Bill Duane's band from high school. So, Bill, tell us about the Atomic Chickens.
Well, the Atomic Chickens was the band we had back in Freedom High School. It was four of us from Freedom.
What year, 90? Geez,
I'd say we started – well, really, we started in like 91, like 90. But that the way we started was just me and my friend Seth. Basically in his bedroom with like a keyboard, like it was just us on a keyboard, like, and we're like singing into like a vacuum cleaner, like, and then we're just like, oh, we should record this stuff. And then we're like, we did a couple of like cassette tapes of just us on a keyboard, like singing these cheesy songs.
And did either of you know how to play the keyboard?
No, not really. We basically just, played the pre-programmed songs that were on the keyboard and just made up words to them.
And you were how old at this time?
I would have been probably like 11 or 12,
wow.
I guess, or 12, 13 maybe. Yeah, it was like right at the end of middle school, however old you are then.
Yeah, 12, 13 probably.
Yeah.
What kind of, do you remember any of those songs?
I remember one was called Bum in an Urban Neighborhood.
You guys got deep.
Yeah.
You got some,
it was pretty deep. It was
topical.
Yeah. Another one called the Mama's Blues. Something like that. It was literally just like, oh, let's see what songs the keyboard has, and it's a blues one. So we sang a song about having Mama's Blues.
and then over time you learned to play instruments.
Yes, yeah. Then it evolved. We started playing guitar and then we found a friend who played drums, Jamie Howe, and eventually a friend who played the bass guitar. And put together, like, you know, what you would call a more traditional, you know, band. and we played more like poppy, like pop punk kind of music, and we played out in the Lehigh Valley, probably from like 94 to 97 ish.
So these were the days of like fire hall shows.
Yeah. We would play mostly at fire halls. And half the time it was just our friend George setting up the shows. Yeah. So that was the way we got shows. We did play a couple of other shows that we actually got booked on, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
People who weren't there for that time, like, it really is interesting looking back on it. Like kids, like teens, like would somehow get a venue.
Yeah, it really was crazy. Like,
I can't imagine
these
happening.
Fire halls were just renting themselves out to literally like a 16-year-old kid. But half the time they would just lie and be like, "Yeah, I'm having a birthday party,"
right?
And then
with five bands,
yeah, with five bands with 200 playing, people. And I just happen to be charging admission.
I have hundreds of friends,
yeah. But and I mean, it went well for a while, and then you know, there's always some bad apples who kind of spoil things. And
yeah, there was some like Nazi
there was some skinheads and then just general like
someone's gonna wreck the place.
Destruction of property, yeah. And then eventually like almost basically one by one every fire hall just stopped renting out to kids.
And let's talk a little bit about your recording. So you guys did like a lot of like home taping.
It was all just us in a basement just trying to figure it out. Like when I look back on like how much we went through to try and get a good sounding recording,
yeah,
compared to today when you can just plug in a laptop and be like, okay, it's professionally recorded, like
infinite tracks.
Yeah, and we had like a little 4-track recorder that we stumbled upon and just you know, Radio Shack microphones, and
RIP
Radio Shack. Right, yeah, RIP Radio Shack.
Bill and I both love Radio Shack.
Radio Shack was the best.
I spent a lot of time on there.
I really did too.
It's like I need a little thing that goes from like an eighth to a quarter inch,
right?
Mic, yep. Adapter, splitter. I need two of those. The guy's like, I got you.
Yep,
he's like 49 cents.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you were going to go out of business.
Yeah, probably why
they did. That was correct. So let's play an Atomic Chicken song.
Okay.
What should we play?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Can I pick?
Sure, you can pick.
All right, my favorite, I think, is Marsupial Park.
Okay.
All right. This is the Marsupial Park. Atomic Chickens.
Marsupial Park.
You're back on Beyond the Stacks. I don't know. I still, every time I hear Wallaby mentioned, any time in my life, that pops into my head every time, like from like decades. So, yeah, talk a little about like what kind of stuff you wrote it. Like, how does one write a song like Wallaby? Marsupial Park. And why was the parking so bad, Bill? I wanted to know. There's no place to park.
We literally, the way we would write songs is we would come up with like riffs and just start playing them. And then I was the singer, so I would just literally just make up words off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes they would stick, and but even when they stuck, like, they were just complete nonsense like, that I made up. Like, but like, and then sometimes we were just like, oh, you know, let's change that. Maybe we'd actually write some words ahead of time, but very rarely actually. Like, it really was just like spur of the moment. Like, I would just come up with stuff, and
so just like all the stuff on the mind of a suburban.
Yeah, you know, they're always thinking about combining Jurassic Park with marsupials and. And, you know,
Playing Pogs. I like that song.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We had a song about Pogs.
No one knows what Pogs are.
That's a very dated reference. No one knows what
Pogs are. And some songs about like,
Google it.
Yeah. Some songs about, you know, crushes on girls and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
My Valentine or.
Right. Be My Valentine or I'll Kill You. That's actually based on an actual Valentine I got.
Oh.
Yeah. A girl in high school gave me a Valentine.
It's better that it's a girl sending it to you.
Right, yeah, I know. It was even weirder, yeah. Because that would be my right, that would be bad. A girl literally gave me a Valentine. I said, roses are red, violets are blue, be my Valentine or I'll kill you. And I was like, wow. So I wrote that song.
And did, I mean, it must have become a Valentine.
I kind of had no choice, yeah.
Did it go well? A long, healthy relationship?
Well, no.
One could imagine. Bill and I both share a love of the Ramones. That's like one of our favorite bands. I think you can hear some Ramones influences on the Atomic Chicken stuff. And Bill's a funny story about like, well, I know when Marky Ramone came here to the library signing books, Bill told Marky a story about this library and the Ramones. So I want Bill to share that story with you. Take it away, Bill.
Yes. Well, I completely have the Bethlehem Public Library to thank for introducing me to punk rock. I had never heard punk rock before. I had never heard the Ramones before. I had just started to hear about the Ramones. So
what year was this, do you think?
This would be
like late 80s?
No, it was early 90s.
Okay.
It was late. It was.
And people do forget.
It was probably like 90, 91, like right around there.
It was so hard to find stuff back then.
Yeah, you couldn't just go online and get it. So I went to the library and they had a copy of Ramones Mania, which was kind of like a best of the Ramones. And I took out that cassette tape and just fell in love with the Ramones. And that started everything, really. And then when Marky came to the library here and I got to meet him and he signed my book, it was like coming full circle. And I told him the story. I said, hey, you know, the first time I ever heard you, I checked your tape out of this library. And he goes, oh, did you keep it? I said, well, no, actually, I copied it. And he just laughed. And he said, oh, well, that's good.
Even better.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that story. I love thinking about how the library was so, transformative in your life.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. Like, that was the first time I ever heard anything like that. And I just, like, fell in love with it.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to track down stuff like that. So that's cool that the library had that for you. And then from then, what? Like, where did you go record shopping, or how'd you like even?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Play It Again Records, which was over in Southside Bethlehem.
R.I.P.
they were like the local record store that had the punk rock and they had like the local music. Like there was always a little bin right up on the counter. I remember where they had the local 7-inches and I would, look through those and I discovered the like local music scene through there. And really the first time I really discovered like the local scene was it was actually I think it was 93 or 94 when Weston played at the Stage Door with Green Day.
Oh yeah.
And it was literally like 2 weeks before Green Day just exploded.
Yeah. No, at that point, no one quite
and
knew.
And nobody knew. Like, I mean, they kind of knew, but
they
like
had a couple.
They had like
big
a
underground
following, yeah. but they were nothing like you know like they are now. They're like humongous, yeah. And then I remember like you know reading the review of it and everything in the paper, and I was just like, man, that sounds so cool. And then I looked into Green Day, and I was like, wow, these guys are great. And then it was just so crazy because, like, I was like, oh, just this little band that I saw, like,
yeah.
is now, like, on MTV. Like, it was really weird to see.
And so a lot of those not Green Day, but a lot of those other local bands you mentioned, we do just remind everyone, we have all those records up now on the library's website. So you can listen to the Weston records. You can listen to some early, they have like hardcore, like Mr. Yuck is on there. When they
yeah, enjoy. Mr. Yuck is great.
And Bill's going to actually put together a selection. Bill's going to curate, that's the word.
Yes.
Bill's going to curate a mix. So we have over 1,000 MP3s on the site. So Bill's going to go through and put together maybe like a dozen song playlists. So you can hear like some of his favorite tracks from that giant collection of music. And there might be an Atomic Chickens track on there.
Might be. The cut. I don't know.
Choose 12.
Seems conceited. 12 Atomic Chickens songs.
I listened to 1,000, and just so happened 12 of the best 12
were by me personally.
Built on. Yes. All right. So, check out bapl.org/LVUMA and listen to the Atomic Chickens on there. Listen to Bill's mix. We'll play another Atomic Chickens track here on the way out. Outro music, what should we pick? Be My Valentine?
I guess since we were talking about it, we should play My Valentine.
Let's listen to it. Thanks for coming in, Bill.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, see you later. Okay. Okay, bye.
Notice me, set myself on fire, but you didn't see.